the answer to this question has two different approaches. I'll answer this from two different angles. Number one, that when a prophecy is made and the time duration is not mentioned in so many words, sometimes people become very hasty and want things to be to happen in their own lifetime. While that prophecy sometimes applies to many, many generations, and ultimately it is fulfilled sometimes after 1,000 or 2,000 years. So the first thing to be remembered is this, that if you look at the prophecies of the Holy Quran which were revealed with regards to Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, and he was positively promised a victory, it is prudent to start from there and observe the phenomena, because that phenomena would throw light. First of all, we must examine that prophecy, whether it has been fulfilled in toto or partially, and what happened to that prophecy. Now, I mentioned particularly a prophecy of the Holy Quran relating to Huzur Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which says, وَالَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَى وَدِينِ الْحَقِّ لِيُظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ. It is He, the Lord of the universe, who sent this Prophet, Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, so that His religion is made victorious over the entire religions of the world. Now, that prophecy took place 1400 years ago, and in every 100 years, one or two or three generations passed away. So that means about 40 odd generations have passed away since. And still that prophecy is to be fulfilled. If you look at the number of Muslims as compared to the number of non-Muslims, in totality, the difference is far too big. But even country-wise, even in India, we are still a small minority. Against Hindus, we are a minority. Against Buddhists, we are a minority. Against Confucius, we are a minority, the followers of Confucius. And against atheists, the communists, we are a minority. Against Christianity, we are Christians, we are a minority. And 1400 years have passed since. So if a non-Muslim asks this question, what would be the answer? The only answer which a Muslim can find is this, that an ultimate fate has been described, and the ball is still in play. It has not become dead so far. So let's live long enough to see what happens. So that is the only answer. And in this case too, this answer applies. Peace will ultimately be established in the world, but something has to happen before that peace. And that has been described by Hazur Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself. For instance, in one of the traditions which I quoted yesterday or the day before, it was mentioned that when Messiah would come, there will be two great peoples on the earth who would be so powerful, such great nations, who would be so powerful that it would not be for man to fight them, for any man to fight them. So Allah would reveal to the Messiah that recede to the mountain and don't think of fighting with them materially. Only pray to your Lord and he would destroy them. Again, the same people are described in the Holy Quran as fighting with one another, like the waves of ocean. One wave after another, they will try to conquer the other and will ultimately be destroyed with their own might. So that has to happen before the final peace. Because unless these great powers fight with each other and destroy each other, that peace cannot be established, which peace has been promised to us by Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And his words should be interpreted in the light of his own words, not as anybody pleases. In whichever direction he wants to drag them, he will not be permitted to do so. The words of Huzur-e Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam will be interpreted in the light of his own words, which occur elsewhere. So one tradition throws light on the other. This is the second aspect of my answer. That to say that peace will be established, nobody can deny that. But how long after? That is to be debated. From the study of the Holy Quran, we can positively say that that time factor is not positively mentioned, so nobody can say how long after. But the seed of a worldwide peace will be sown, it means only that, in the first place. In the second place, it tells us, another tradition tells us, that at that time, the world would be ready to launch, to be launched into great world war. And two big people of the West and East, they are described as Yajuj, Majuj, in the Holy Quran as well. And the forces of the Jaliyat, whatever name you give them. Before this coming of the peace, they have to fight it out between themselves and get totally exhausted. So I also mentioned Surah Taha yesterday, in which also this prophecy is made. So peace would come, but after paying the price. Another aspect of this question is this, that if a good is promised to a people, that promise is always conditional to their own attitude towards that promise. The Holy Quran says, addressing the whole world, that Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has come to give you new life. Yad'ukum lima yuhyikum. He is calling you towards him to give you a new life. But how many are there who got that new life? Despite the fact that he was for the entire world. That new life was subject to the people's positive response. It was not to be offered to those who did not respond to his call. So, in another sense, peace is established and given by Hazrat Masih Maud alayhi salatu wassalam, while the rest of the world, to Ahmadis, while the rest of the world are living a life of hell. Only Ahmadis know that when they look at the rest of the world and their social pattern and their problems and their worries and their direction in life, their bearing or loss of bearing, they feel themselves to be in a sort of Jannah. And I know thousands of Ahmadis write to me about this, that thank God we were born Ahmadis or we accepted Ahmadiyyat, because the rest of the world is suffering hell, however happy they may appear to be. But that peace, to be born for a purpose, to serve that purpose, to offer sacrifices for that purpose, to live a meaningful life, that is a peace which can never be obtained elsewhere. And that peace has been given to us by Hazrat Masih Maud alayhi salatu wasalam, and naturally it should have remained confined to those who accepted him. Like all the benefits of Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasalam flowed in the direction of those who accepted him. And those who denied, they were deprived and they did not go to Jannah. In fact, a bigger hell was their destiny than those who previously denied the prophets. So if the reward is bigger, the punishment is also bigger. So if a peace is denied to man by man himself, while Allah offered that peace, the contrary will also be true. A bigger restlessness is to be witnessed by man. And the man will suffer such hell as he had never suffered such hell. So this is the fate of man because of the denial. Conceives of a world, even a small country, which becomes an Ahmadi. For instance, Pakistan. A very small and insignificant country in the comity of nations, I mean. Otherwise, it's a very good and very country full of potentials. But those potentials have not been tapped. The unfortunate people have been deprived of honest leadership. And they have been deprived of their fundamental rights regime after regime. If they become Ahmadi today, I can promise that within 5 years, they can rise to one of the greatest powers on earth. Because for Ahmadis to grow to 8 crores in a land where they could practice Islam as they would, without any shackles, without any restrictions, and where they could offer sacrifices as they pleased, and they could make a program of the world conquest for Islam. Such a country would be counted among the biggest powers on earth within a matter of years. If not 5, within 10 years. That is at the most. So this is the benefit of Ahmadiyyat, but it will be drawn only by those who accept and submit, not by those who deny.